AOJB 90.1 The Eagle. Good day. Welcome to another edition of Environmental Voices. I'm Marie Rock. Joining me in the studio once again is Steve Mortensen. What are we going to talk about today, Steve?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about orphaned animals. People sometimes run into animals out in the wild that they think have lost their parents or whatever and want to bring them home or take them somewhere else. So we'll talk about that a little bit.
All right. What should you do if you think you found an orphan bird or an animal?
Well, it kind of depends on the situation and the species involved. In most cases, you're probably best not to do anything at all, you know, unless the critter is in imminent danger of being killed or something, because in a lot of cases, the adults are still around and they're probably caring for the young. You just may not see them. I mean, every year or two, we get reports of a orphaned eagle, but in reality, the eagle is not orphaned. A lot of times, they'll leave the nest, you know, before they are proficient flyers, and they may end up on the ground. But you know, unless that eagle's in danger of being killed by a dog or something, the adults are probably feeding it. I mean, if it is on the ground and you can get it up into a tree branch or something, that's probably a good idea. But other than that, best thing to do is leave it alone and kind of keep an eye out and see if the adults show up and are taking care of it.
You're talking about pretty young eaglets, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, they'd be ones that were born this spring, and they would just be leaving the nest now in late July and August.
Okay, I don't think I'd be wanting to mess with any of them. They have pretty sharp claws.
Eagles aren't too bad.
Okay. I've heard of people finding a fawn that they think are orphaned. Is this similar to an eagle?
Yeah, in some respects, it's the same sort of a thing. Most of the fawns that people are going to run into are probably less than a month old, because during their first month of life or so, they typically don't travel with the doe. She will leave them by themselves, just coming back to feed them periodically. And in fact, if a doe has two fawns, oftentimes she will actually separate them. So, you know, if a predator finds one, you know, it won't get both of them. But in any case, it's best to leave them alone, because she's probably somewhere around. You just maybe don't see her. You know, if the fawn starts to holler or whatever, she may come and check it out. But in some cases, they don't even do that. Their strategy is that, you know, they're very, very poorly adapted to defend themselves or their fawn, so they just basically will let a predator take the fawn with a very little resistance, and the doe will live to reproduce another day. And that might be kind of hard for people to understand, but that's the method that works for deer.
That's with other animals, predators type of thing, right?
Well, some predators, you know, might be more much more defensive, but
yeah, okay. I was just saying, because my daughter had a doe that had some babies, and when I'd approach her house, it would stamp its feet. I was scared of that deer. Was that her way of telling me to stay away?
Right. Well, that's kind of it's partly kind of a warning thing to warn the other deer around.
Okay.
That, you know, something is up and you need to be looking around, and they also will raise their tail. That's kind of a flag for the other deer to see what's going on.
Okay, cool. Do some other species of wildlife defend their young more aggressively?
Certainly. There's other species that are, you know, much more capable of defending their young, and some of them, you know, will do it quite aggressively. To some degree, these are species that have, you know, produced fewer young and invested a lot more time into those limited young. If you take something like a grizzly bear, which of course is big and quite capable of defending itself and its young, and they also live out in areas that are relatively open, so they don't have a lot of places to hide, so their strategy is to defend their young, and of course they can do it quite effectively. Now, around here where we have black bears, we don't have grizzly bears anymore. But certainly black bears, again, they're quite large. They could, you know, do some damage. But their strategy is to basically send their cubs up a tree, because basically they live in areas where there's trees. And then they may, you know, hang around, but they'll try and bluff charge you. They'll kind of huff at you, and then they will kind of run at you a little bit, and then they back off. It's pretty rare for a black bear to actually attack a person. Another species, something like a great horned owl, which is extremely defensive of its young, and people have been injured trying to crawl up and look into an owl nest. I mean, I would much rather handle an eagle, which is probably close to three times the size, than I would a great horned owl, because great horned owls are just plain mean.
Good to know. If you find an orphaned animal, can you take it home and raise it?
In most cases, no. Most animals are protected by either tribal or federal law that prohibits such activities. And secondly, in most cases, you know, people just aren't very well equipped to take care of a lot of these animals. Say, for instance, you find something like a hawk and think, well, you know, that hawk eats meat, so I'll feed my little baby hawk hamburger. Well, that may sound good, but, you know, in the natural diet of hawks, they eat meat undoubtedly, but also the fur and the feathers and bones of the things they're eating, and they need those things in their diet for them to develop properly. Also, sometimes people feed animals stuff that really is quite inappropriate, things like salty things. I mean, animals don't get a lot of salt in their natural diet in most cases. And I've seen people out, especially like in desert areas, feeding, you know, potato chips or something to a ground squirrel or something. And when you do that, those animals need to get water to balance out this overload of salt now. And if you're out in the desert, there is no water, it very well could kill that animal. So animals need to eat what they naturally need to eat, and we're not very good at providing that. You need to be a trained rehabilitator or something to take on something like that.
Okay.
Also, a lot of times, you know, a cute little animal looks real cute when it's small, but when it starts to get bigger, you know, it becomes a different situation. If you take like a raccoon, for instance, you know, a cute, cuddly little raccoon, but by the time they get to about half grown, they become ornery, mean little critters that can tear up your house and chew holes in your walls and all sorts of things. And then it's not so cute anymore.
Can't those carry diseases too?
Certainly some animals can carry diseases, so you got to be careful of that.
Awesome. All right. So just basically leave the stuff alone, let it be where it's at, and everything will be all right.
That's generally the best strategy. There are exceptions, but for the most part, that seems to work fairly well.
Excellent. All right, Steve. Thanks so much for your time. That's going to wrap up another edition of Environmental Voices for KOJB 90.1 The Eagle. I'm Marie Rock.